The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
College football hot takes in the official 2026 On the Line Auburn Draft.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Yes, welcome in, welcome in. It is the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio, and if you're with us every day here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, you know that it hits 2 o'clock. So you know that it means it's raining. At some point between the hours of 2 and 4 during the summer, it will rain. This one actually started at like 1:58, and it's just absolutely downpouring here on this Friday, August 14th. And folks, I don't know about you, but we've been swamped by high school football stuff here this afternoon. We ran into the studio at 1:58 p.m. here this afternoon. And that means it's a fantastic day, because that means we are 7 days. We are 1 week from the high school football season. Ball is almost back, baby. And I don't know what will fire you up if that does not fire you up here on this Friday afternoon. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Appreciate everybody for being here with us, for spending some time here on ESPN 106.7. A lot to dive into here this afternoon. We are starting with some more text box conversation, because over the last handful of days, and I don't even remember exactly how we dove into this, I think it was talking week zero, talking week one within the state of Alabama, it more so worked into hot takes for college football, whether that's week zero, whether that's week one, or whether that's just throughout the entire season. We're going to dive into a lot of those here this afternoon. So if you have any of your college football hot takes, make sure to send them our way. I mentioned it. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Across from me, my man Tripp Upton. Happy Friday, sir. I know that you are basically in the same boat that I am. We're trying to catch our breath from the high school side of things. But again, if that's the worst case scenario, if that's the worst problem of today, then it's a pretty good Friday.
Yes, happy Friday. Was up at Auburn High School a lot this morning, not only talking with both Jack, the voice of the Auburn High Tigers, and head coach of the Auburn High Tiger football, Keith Etheridge, getting an interview. Hopefully we'll have that out on the Auburn High Sports Network side of things a little bit later during this weekend, and then was able to get our stuff ready with our combined partnership with Auburn High Mass Media, getting to meet those kids and being able to kind of see what this fall is going to look like for them. We had our Auburn High production meeting, and then I've been working on graphics, video. I've been running around, but look, I've been seeing blue A's everywhere, kind of like stars, as I'm confused. But look, it's good. I'm excited. We're only 7 days away. This time next week, we're going to be live from Winter Timber Outdoors, kicking off the high school football season. Yeah. And so I am more than excited to, if that's what busy means, then I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, definitely okay. And holy cow, it is absolutely downpouring. And so if you're listening in the car, I'm sure you have the dial turned up a few more notches to hear us over the rain. Make sure you're getting where you're going safe, but we appreciate everybody for being here with us. Again, a lot to dive into here this afternoon, a lot of fun to be had on the airwaves. If you want to be a part of today's conversation, the phone lines are going to be closed here this afternoon, but the text box, the Send Medicine text box, is always open, and we highly encourage you to be a part of the show here today. The text box today brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20 plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can find out more and become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. That's S-E-N-N medicine.com. Appreciate all that he does for us. Make sure to go check him out. He'll take care of you the way that he takes care of us. But another special guest here, a three-man crew here here this afternoon, a man that you know quite well, a voice that you know quite well, and somebody you're going to be hearing a lot more as we continue diving into this high school football season, the voice of Auburn High School, Mr. Jack Hudden, who still has the sunglasses on the head for whatever reason. As he takes them off now, but you know him, again, from all of the work he does on the Auburn High School side of things, with Auburn Baseball Analytics and the fourth in our Scramble group. This is kind of his day. This is something that he finds a lot of joy in. This is our 2026 Auburn Football Player Draft. We'll get to that starting at 2:30, but happy Friday, sir. Hopefully all is well in your world. I know that very similar to you, very similar to Tripp, and very similar to myself. We're all running around kind of like chickens with our head cut off, but excited to now have 2 hours to sit in a chair and talk a little bit of ball here this afternoon.
And talk some balls is the big part of that, man. I mean, we've got a rainy Friday out here right now, so I think there's nothing better to do than to kind of get into some of these hot takes. And then, the Auburn football roster draft is today. It's one of my favorite things that we do. And so I appreciate you guys letting me have my fun here. But we've got a whole draft board printed out. We've all been over our strategy. We even had ChatGPT get involved a little bit with this. And so going to be, I think, a little different from years past, but going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun. And again, whether this is winning or losing the draft, that's one thing. But it's kind of more so to not only familiarize us and get the remembrance of, like, holy cow, this is how good this defense is. This is what the linebacker room looks like. These are maybe some names in the secondary that you haven't heard in quite some time. It's also for your standpoint as well, just being able to be reintroduced to this Auburn football team as we continue to work our way to week one with Auburn and Baylor in Atlanta. Preseason NFL football, I guess, if that's something that you choose to celebrate. I know, Tripp, you don't want to celebrate too much from last night.
Lost to Jacob Goins' Bengals, and I know that he says he's a Packers fan, but as a man from Southern Ohio, I feel like he should have pride in rooting for the Cincinnati Bengals.
But
what does he call them, the Bungles?
He calls them the Bungles.
Golly,
yes.
Come on, man.
But
Bungle. They do.
They tend to bungle.
They tend to. I know a girl that's a big Bengals fan. I really wanted to send her just.
Sorry. I agree, Christian. I thought the same thing.
She's a Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was great knowledge. Thank you so much.
Anyway. Sure. Okay.
No. We will happily move on. But again, last weekend was the last weekend without football until like February, and so. That's pretty freaking sweet on just the forefront in itself. And hopefully people didn't lose too much money on football starting last night. And so I appreciate everybody for being here with us this afternoon on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And again, the text box, the Send Medicine text box, is always open, and highly encourage you to be active in it here this afternoon, because the first 30 minutes, we are continuing to dive into hot takes here this afternoon in college football, whether that's Auburn, whether that's the SEC, whether that's just kind of anything within the college football side of things. Again, highly encourage you to be a part of it. 334-784-1685. 334-784-1OTL. Again, he is Tripp Upton, Jack Hudden in the studio with us as well. And so I figured the best way to get started in it was one that I got this morning, and it was sent to me from another expert, I think we could refer to him as, but it was Josh Pate that would talk, and he did not send it in the text box. That would have been pretty cool.
That would have been cool.
But got the link from somebody about Josh Pate, and talked about a hot take of Texas possibly missing the playoffs. And
ooh.
I think that's a solid way to start, because it has the Auburn connections in there as well, but everybody begins to look at that September 12th game, Ohio State and Texas. Ohio State making their return trip to DKR. You have Texas going to Tennessee early on. You then have the Red River rivalry. Could Florida pull an upset in DKR? You have Ole Miss also at home before LSU on the road and hosting, or I'm sorry, on the road in Aggieland, where I saw that Texas. Holy cow. That rattled the studio. You might have heard that through the microphone. Yeah. I was looking at it here this afternoon. Texas is a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Kyle Fields. A 6:30 kick to end the regular season. Mike Elko is an underdog at home. your thoughts on if that is a hot enough take to get everything started.
I think from a talent standpoint, it's a hot take. I mean, you look, I think they have one of the best wide receiver rooms in the country. They have one of the best running back rooms in the country. They have the best, one of the best offensive lines in the country, quarterbacks in the country, defense in the country. Like, everything that they do checks the box on paper. But then you look at the schedule, and I think that there's an interesting standpoint. Outside of Ohio State, they play UTSA and Texas State, and now we've both talked about how I'm high on the Bobcats, you're high on Owen McCown, the Southpaw at UTSA. But then you look at this SEC schedule, and there's not a lot of opportunities for that marquee win that you need, or really, to get in a college football playoff and excuse a couple of your losses. You play Oklahoma in the Red River, and you play Texas A&M. But look at who else is on the schedule. Tennessee, Florida, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Missouri, LSU, Arkansas. What happens if Texas goes, let's say they lose to Ohio State and they go 1-1 against Oklahoma and A&M? They might only have like one top 15 win if that goes the way it needs to. And that's going to be Oklahoma or Texas A&M. I mean, Tennessee has potential to be not as good. Florida, if things hold, or is not the team that could be a top 15 team. Ole Miss is interesting. I think same thing with LSU. I don't think Mississippi State, Missouri, or Arkansas will be anything crazy. I know I saw a dude on TikTok the other day, slightly off topic, that said Arkansas 8-4, which I thought was insane, but he was a massive Arkansas fan. But I think that schedule at 10-2 might be on the outside looking in, guys.
10-2 is in Texas, not Arkansas, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Just checking to make sure.
No, Arkansas might be 2-10.
I firmly think that there's a possibility Arkansas only wins two games this year.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the Texas thing, look, I mean, I know that you bring in some really talented transfers like that. I've never really been a huge believer in what Arch Manning does. I think he's serviceable, but I don't necessarily think that he's worth the hype he gets just because of the name. You know, we've all seen the big – yeah, I know, something's going on outside, guys. we've all seen, you know, the player who shall not be named catches coming out of camp for those guys, and so that's something that at least Auburn fans are kind of sad about. But, I mean, I don't really see much of a – other than what Steve Sarkisian can do in his pre-snap motions and stuff like that, I don't really see Texas being this big, like, you know, they have to knock them off in
sure.
a way. Yeah,
it's funny you say that about the highlight tapes, because got a text in the On the Line text box, which, again, you can always be a part of, in the Send Medicine text box at 334-784-1685 that says, has Texas sent out enough tapes of Cam Coleman? Like, yes, he has the highlight catches, but can he catch a 10-yard curl without dropping it?
Or can he hold on to it? Yeah.
Can he not fumble the football in the biggest game of your season?
I know they just released another one of...
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Of Arch throwing a... kind of just
he throws it like basically on air. He throws it, and Cam goes up and makes this incredible one-handed catch.
And Texas
the comments are just like, "What was that about? Why did he throw it so high?"
That's all the Texas fans are now trying to sit there and go, "Arch did it on purpose to try and let Cam get another highlight grab in practice." And it's like,
you know what? I wish to have that level of like delusion to be able to be like, he's only doing that to make Auburn fans look bad because Cam Coleman can make these balls. It's like, you don't think he would have made those catches with Jackson Arnold?
Yeah.
Worse quarterback who actually threw like that?
Do you think Arch Manning has thought about Auburn once over the past, like, I don't know, month?
Month? Try, like, the past 3 years.
Well, I'm thinking maybe he got some at SEC Media Days or something like that, but I'm just not sure.
I'm sure there was a little bit of the PR training of that Cam had, and it was like, hey, if Cam gets asked about Auburn, Arch, you step in and make sure that your response is still he's at Texas now or whatever the case may be. But no, I thought that was a very interesting one to get the afternoon started. Before I read a couple of them, any hot takes that y'all have? I know this is a little bit unscripted, but any ones that kind of stand out to you here this afternoon?
I got a fun one. I got a group of five team that I think is making the college football playoff this year.
I will say, sorry to totally cut you off. Mentioned a group of six now.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
That is pretty cool, though, that Texas plays Texas State and UTSA, two G6 teams that
imagine being
pretty high on that could make a little bit of noise.
Imagine being a flagship school, your state, and not playing these kind of group of five teams in your state. Like, who would ever want to do that?
Who would ever not play teams within the state? Wasn't it UTSA that beat Texas in a regional 2 years ago, too?
Yeah, college baseball regional.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
Went to UCLA for a super.
Yeah, so sure. UTSA, Owen McCown, make it happen.
How cool
would that be, though, if UTSA was 9-1 second weekend in November, and it's like, okay, but look at this. They lost 35-28 in DKR. Like, it's a pretty good yeah. team. That was all. Okay, continue.
No, it'd be cool. I mean, I love just kind of thinking about some of these G6 teams that could make a run. I've got kind of a sleeper here. I got Central Michigan coming out of the MAC this year. If you look at their schedule, the only team that they play that has really a heartbeat this year, they have to go to Miami and play them. Even if you lose that game, you still go 11-1 and you go undefeated in the MAC. I think that they can still get up enough because you have games at home like Western Michigan. They got Miami of Ohio at home this year. Those are typically the two teams that are really gunning for the title in the MAC. And so I think if they can somehow figure out a way to go 11-1, win the MAC, maybe even pull off a huge upset down in Miami, they've got certainly a chance to do it. But they bring back a 7-6 coach from last season that was his first year there. They've got a couple of quarterbacks that have been on the roster for a long time, and they've kind of all gotten some game action. So I think that those quarterbacks are going to be well entrenched into the system. I like the Chippewas out of the MAC this season to maybe steal a little shine from a group of six entrant into the playoff.
I think that's good. For a second, I was going to ask if it was Miami of Ohio or Miami of Florida, given the fact they're in the MAC, but it is Miami of Florida.
It is both.
They play both of them, actually.
Ooh.
They go to Hard Rock, and then they have Miami of Ohio, the Redhawks, at home.
I'll give you two. One, I think Mississippi State is undefeated heading into hosting Alabama on October 3rd.
Galding hot.
Because you have UL Monroe. I think that you're able to take care of business there. I think you go to Minnesota, a team that they lost their best player in Coy Perch, I believe.
Where do they go?
Minnesota.
Thank you.
They go there. They go to Columbia, South Carolina.
They have to guard Perry Thompson now, though.
Yeah. They go to Columbia, South Carolina, and they host Missouri. If they can go 4-0, but when Alabama comes to town, I don't think there would be a louder stadium in the country than Davis Wade with those cowbells.
That might be a 1-3 team going into Alabama.
It's unfortunate. I don't know. We are both very high on Kamario Taylor.
And I think Jeff Levy is the most underrated head coach in this country.
I'm very high on Kamario Taylor, just not high on Fluff Bothwell, but anybody else.
I just think it's a possibility. Yeah. Just because I'm lower on Austin Simmons, and I think that this state defense, you bring back Zach Arnett, who was a good defensive coordinator for the Bulldogs, was not a good head coach. Granted, that was an unfortunate situation that he had to step up into, but if he can bring some of that juice and that toughness back to that Bulldogs defense that was phenomenal when he was there, there's a world where that happens. I also would say
4-0. And then you'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry, because then you have Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, and Texas. So
yeah,
4-0 becomes 4-4.
Almost like exactly what Auburn does this year.
Yeah, they could be 4-4 after that. But, I mean, just imagine what they would be saying. I also am very high, speaking of a G6 team, the team that Central Michigan plays week one. New Mexico, Jason Eck, phenomenal head coach. You look at this schedule, they do play at Oklahoma. But I think that they could easily be 11-1. Maybe like Hawaii is a tough game. North Dakota State is a tough game. But in this new look Mountain West, I think that they could be a team that could be an under the radar, because you have your UNLVs, your Hawaiis, your North Dakota States at the top of that conference. New Mexico at very worst is 4, and with Jason Eck, who continues to elevate that program. Even losing a guy like Devin Dampier, last year they were phenomenal. Bringing that group back, they could make some noise here out of New Mexico. So let's sleep on the Lobos.
I don't hate it. I do think, do I have it right? New Mexico's the reigning Mountain West champion. Is that correct?
I thought
they won that on their home field last year.
It might have been Boise.
Was it Boise last year?
Yes, they defeated UNLV 38-21 to win their third consecutive conference title to leave the conference.
Boise did. Okay, so not New Mexico. New Mexico had something happen last year that was like real big for them. I don't know. Maybe it was like their first 8 or 9 win season.
It was their first 9 win season.
I have the internet. I could look it up. I'm kind of lazy, but that's who I think could. Central Michigan, obviously, like me and my team. They're going to have to get by them, yes, but I look at the rest of the schedule there and think I've got really two games that I see that if they somehow find a way in those, the rest of this lines up really well for them. They got a lot at home, and so that's kind of where I was going with that. I like the pick. I like the pick of New Mexico over there too. I think one more to mention, Christian. I know we got to get the break. I think one more, maybe a hot take here. I don't know if I'm talking about college football playoff. I think Eric Morris at Oklahoma State, I think he could win 8 games this year.
I've seen people start to pick a little bit on that line in week 2, Oklahoma State and Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just one of those games of maybe Dante Moore hasn't figured it out early on in the season. You have the opportunities, but I think Oregon's like a 17.5 point favorite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you start. Right,
it just depends on the defense there in Stillwater.
They start with Tulsa, and then you go Oregon, Murray State, and then you go to West Virginia, Central Florida at home, to Houston, and then Colorado comes home. They're jumping around road and home a lot, and so I don't necessarily feel like they're going to go on these like one of these real long road trips where you just get beaten up over and over again. I think they're going to have be able to come back to home base a lot.
Sure.
And so I just think that lines up. That's a good question. Let me see if I can.
But if they're bouncing home and away,
so between West Virginia and UCF, that I was saying, it's pretty early.
I mean, that's not terrible. You get that bye week once you hit week 3, you kind of figure out what your team is, and you now have 2 weeks before you host UCF to try and get it right. Especially if you're 2-1 or possibly 3-0, like that would be really, really cool. We do have to get to break, though. Have 3 more that I want to read for you, but do want to hit on that Colorado news, because I don't know how much y'all have seen about it, but it's absolutely wild in terms of what the media can and cannot do. So I want to hit that on the way out before we dive into our 2026 Auburn football roster draft. We're just off and running here on the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line. Trip Upton, Jack Hudden, and Christian Griffin here with you in the studio, taking you home, taking you to the weekend here on this Friday afternoon.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line. Not quite as free-for-all as usual. We actually have a structure today, kind of. And so that's what happens when Jack walks in and he's like...
Free for some.
Who would have thought that Jack Hudden, of all people, would bring structure to On the Line? Wow. Who would have thought?
Oh, goodness.
Who thought we'd be here? Not me.
No, certainly not me. You got the wrong guy for that.
We're sitting here talking about the hot takes in college football before we start diving into our Auburn football team draft. And this segment may go a minute or two long. But before hitting some of the other ones in the text box, wanted to ask if y'all have seen real quickly the Deion Sanders drama at Colorado and basically how the media cannot record, and then cannot talk about what they see during practice. So from our standpoint, do you know how miserable that would be? You would have to forefront everything. You'd have to put a stinger at the front of a segment going like, everything they say is opinionated. Nothing they know is factual. It's all just hope. And you'd have to sit there and formulate every single thought of, we may or may not have seen this running back, and he may or may not have been taking snaps with the ones. And so I don't know about you, but personally, my opinion, I think this could be a really good year for this guy.
We coming.
There is absolutely zero intel that's allowed to be shared from anything outside the walls of Boulder, Colorado. I think it's absolutely wild to handcuff.
It's like when a lawyer gets a hold of a case.
Yeah.
And it's like it's trying not to say anything that would be admissible.
When you are outside the courtroom, you cannot speak about it until everything gets finalized. You are handcuffing people's occupations, people's livelihood.
Yeah,
they're just sitting there on the, like, imagine if Auburn did that and we have to sit on the radio every day during fall camp and go, they practiced today. They certainly did some things at practice. I can't tell you what, but I saw it.
They did, in fact, practice.
This something did something, because you wouldn't be able to talk about players, wouldn't be able to talk about what they did. This someone did something a certain way, and that gave me this opinion of an opinion.
Byron Brown.
It's a good grass cut, Steve. Real low to the ground. Got a nice cross section there. Really good looking on the football field.
I mean, there's obviously the rumors. I don't know if y'all have seen it, about this is basically because one of his sons is in some kind of bankruptcy court.
Yeah.
And so basically, if they see something where, again, that's all legal stuff, alleged, all that stuff, but if they were to walk in and see something, it's like, you're having bankruptcy court, yet you're the son of prime time. I think you've got a few more assets than you're leading to believe. That probably could be a reason why they are shutting it down right now. But it just shows that I don't think that that's a serious administration in Boulder, Colorado. I think this might be a hot take. I think Deion Sanders steps down after this year. I think he's done.
I don't think
he's not fired.
A wild thought.
What else is he trying to do? You know,
I mean, go watch his son play football.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to win a national championship in Colorado. So it's like, what else are you going
to
do?
Just wild, wrapping all of this to what, 4 years ago now of Auburn.
Auburn's getting
Deion. Like,
please tell me you guys didn't believe that, because I remember vividly saying that will never happen.
I don't know if I believed. I will say I was guilty at one point, not of being a fan of it, but being like, I can see the argument because of the recruiting aspect.
I can see
the branding that would happen of Auburn.
And it would at least be a shock to the program of like something would change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So it'd be fun.
Sure. Fair. I just thought it was – he just would not have worked in the SEC at all.
And again, the fact that you're now seeing the downfall at Colorado goes to show you –
yep.
How poorly I think it would have been handled on both sides if he would have.
Need you week one, Alberto. Go ahead and go ahead in the Colorado experience. I need you, Mendoza. Let's do it.
Oh, man. Real quickly before we get out of here, push the music back for just a minute or two. But finalizing or getting the final little hot takes from the Send Medicine text box says that LSU in year one will be a dumpster fire with Lane Kiffin. I feel like so many people are – it's either like, yeah, this team is going to be – semifinal bound or 7-5 is a legitimate possibility. And I know that a lot of that starts with Sam Levitt at the quarterback position, because you saw the tapes when he was really, really good, but he's also been battling injuries, and you've also seen the struggles. Obviously, Lane Kiffin has the ability to turn a quarterback into a star, but what are y'all's opinions, real quickly, if there is one that is overweighing one side or the other, if LSU is going to be great or if LSU is going to have those struggles?
To me, I think I don't think they're a playoff team year one.
No.
I don't think that they're going to be a 4-8, nothing goes right, though. I mean, I think this is probably an 8-4 team.
Yeah.
Which, how wild is that that could honestly put Lane Kiffin back on the hot seat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it's just because of the market that he's the one that's created with the whole Portal King thing that he's done. He has created the pressure that he's bringing upon himself. You know,
he's almost controlled the market of like, we talk all about the NIL evaluations, that it's like, how the heck do you come up with this number?
Right.
Everything is skyrocketed. Everything is crazy high now. Because inflated, that was the word I was looking for.
There you go.
Because of what Lane was just willing to offer.
I was going to say, it's like he's the saying of, you're the victim of your own doings, or you're the victim of your own shortcomings. It's like, that's what he's done. He's put something out there, and then if he he's got to win at least 9 games, I think, for it to even be, you know, something that LSU fans look at and go, okay, that was a good hire. They're going to be on him from year one. Brian Kelly did it. Brian Kelly went, 8-4, 7-5 his first year? And they were after his throat after one year.
Yeah, I think that you look at this, how they start their schedule, too. I've talked about this before. You got Clemson, Clemson is – I think they'll beat Clemson, but, like, you can never count out Dabo Sweeney. They have a cupcake, I believe, UL Monroe. And then they have to play A&M and at Ole Miss. What happens if they're 1-3 to start the year? You're going to see some crazy things coming out of Baton Rouge. I don't think Sam Levitt's the guy. I like the roster 2-11 on offense, and I like their defense. But and I love their defensive coordinator. I just can't really buy stock in Sam Levitt in a tough SEC schedule.
Last thought before.
I was just going. That's exactly what I was going to say. Hot take, I think, if you will, on the theme of this. I don't know if Sam Levitt is going to be what they think he's going to be cracked up to be in Baton Rouge. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I'm not going to say he's this guy, but a guy that was carried by an all like world wide receiver and an all world running back at another school coming to the SEC. Peyton Thorne 2.0.
Oh, what a comparison! What a comparison by the
that
man.
Was Christian's copyrighted take, by the way. Probably that Sam Levitt won't work out at LSU. Probably was.
I don't know. I don't know that I have a bona fide hot take other than the fact that Auburn wins. I'm just kidding. Music all of a sudden got a lot louder. And speaking of Auburn football, when we come back, we do have our annual, in this year, the 2026 Auburn Football Player Draft. We'll work our way, try and draft the best Auburn football team possible when we come back here. Minutes into the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
All right. We need... Oh, that would have been what I needed. I needed a Bruce Buffer. Just, it's time!
It's time!
I got one for you.
I like it.
I like it.
There we go. The 2026 Auburn Football Player Draft is officially here, and a little bit of a different format. It's a little bit of the same, same, but different. Also different, different, but same. Jack, I will let you kind of guide the people the best that you can for the purpose of radio and what this is going to look like, what this is going to... kind of the way it's going to work out here, because we have true talent, we have role and impact, we also have a little bit of like a positional leverage, and then an overall score. And while we're not necessarily adding up our points for the draft, it's a cool little graphic that you have for us showing a lot more of the smart engineering numbers than Tripp and I could ever guess about.
Yeah, definitely. And it was more just to create a like a Mel Kiper big board, if you will, like the best available players. But Let's kind of zoom out. And so, okay, we've done this for, I guess, this is probably the fifth year I've done this. I think Jake and I started back in like 22 and have been doing
it. Oh, wow. Okay. I thought this was like year three or four.
No. So we're going to draft players to a makeshift lineup that we have. And what we'll do is track this throughout the season. And it's really important that we remember this is qualitative based rather than quantitative based. This is a what do people think of our lineups rather than we're going to track these fantasy numbers or what this guy's going to do this year. This is basically like your dad could beat – or my dad could beat up your dad sort of.
Sure.
Thing.
To the point of it's not looking at like a traditional fantasy of like, okay, why would I draft – Cole Best over Jeremiah Koger. It's not looking at true fantasy points. It's more so based off of what they do on the field, the overall projections, the overall stats, and then looking back at this kind of throughout the season, every couple of weeks, and gaining like little boosts to where the end of the season gets here, and it's like, okay, now it's time to have the annual survivor debate on why everybody should pick me to be the overall winner.
It is based on overall talent and meaning to the position room, I guess.
I like
so
that, yeah.
If
yeah.
you've got, like, if the perfect example is quarterback. I don't think it's any secret that one of us is going to end up with Byron Brown. One of us is going to end up with Tristan Tia. Byron Brown's going to play a lot more than Tristan Tia this year. We know that.
We hope.
What I think people will miss with that is, oh, well, obviously, you know, Tristan Tia is not going to get the same amount of points as him. Right, but you're going off of if we put the teams on a field and had them play, Tristan Tia and Byron Brown, their skill level and their points are going to be much closer then. Byron Brown still may be better. That's still the better pick for you. But it is, if these guys were playing, what are they going to do?
It's almost like the, this is not rankings. This is the, if these teams met on a neutral site, the power ratings versus the overall rankings side of things. And again, this is more so just from the standpoint of being able to refamiliarize ourselves with the entire roster to be able to talk about, yes, the guys that get a lot of love, that get a lot of limelight, but then also highlight some of the guys, again, like an Elijah Melendez, who everybody's very excited for, but until I looked at this roster, it was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that he's on there going to make a really big impact this season. A guy like Blake Woodby, who, again, is a very talented player, yet you feel like hasn't gotten the same amount of media buzz as a guy like Champ Anthony, as a guy like Eric Winters. Sure, exactly. That same type of thing. And so basically refamiliarizing ourselves and hopefully doing that with you as well, so that way you can learn more about these guys and who's going to take the field for the Orange and Blue here in week one in Atlanta, and then confirmed again 6:45 against Southern Miss in week two back home, the kickoff on the Plains, which everybody I know is very, very excited for. And so unprofessionally, we haven't quite picked a draft order yet. I think by proxy, Jack, you're third. Just based off of what you sent us earlier.
Waxed. So if you know those games that you can play like over text where you send them out and you can play like pool and pop a shot and all that stuff, I sent this out and was so proud because I had like, oh, man, I made 16 of these buckets in 30 seconds or whatever it was. And I think Christian put up like a 38 or something like that. And it was like, well, I got waxed. So I might be third right out of the gate. I'm interested to see what Tripp's results are from this, because I think he's got something.
So I have a horse race simulator. So we can we have a horse race, and that determines our draft order.
Can we bet on it?
Not in the state of Alabama, no.
Oh, gosh. If you would like to, I was going to, since this is your very first, I was going to offer it up to you to be 1-1.
I don't know if I want to pounce on that. I want fate to decide.
Fate will decide?
Okay. I think fate decides.
I'm actually okay with any position in this.
Because see, what Christian's doing right here, he is trying to make it so that he's number two, and that's where he's built his entire draft strategy off of.
Ah.
That's actually unprofessionally. I didn't open this until 1:58. So it's more so I'll actually be third so I can see y'all's strategy and go off of that.
You've done this before, though.
I have.
So you know what's going on.
If this is the way, gosh, this is terrible radio, and I don't know.
I'll play by play it, and we're off. Jack with an early lead here. 30-second race.
Get into it.
As we are going.
He's coming around the corner on the right side.
He's coming around the corner on the right side.
There's a trip up and over. Now it's Christian Griffin in the lead.
And Christian's pulling here with about 16 seconds to go. Christian tripping third. Jack in second. Here we go down the stretch. Coming to the last 10 seconds. Christian pulling away from the group. And it is not close right now. Christian, but Jack and Tripp pull. Jack and Tripp pull with 5 seconds to go. Here comes Tripp down the stretch. Oh my goodness. Tripp, number one. Jack, number two. Christian, number three. Oh my goodness.
He could have just made all that up and had nothing going on.
It's completely
so
rigged.
It will be me, Christian, and then Jack. So I will have the number one overall pick.
I say with that.
Wait, so it's Tripp, Christian, Jack?
Yes.
So it's exactly what, I offered up.
It's okay.
Good job. We did it. We arrived at our own conclusion.
Yep.
Owners have to draft 14 players over 14 rounds.
Oh my gosh.
Players can be drafted in any order that you decide, but all your spots have to be filled. Here's your spots: a quarterback, a running back, two wide receivers, a tight end, an offensive tackle, an interior offensive lineman, two D linemen, an edge, a linebacker, a corner, a safety or a nickel, and then one flex player that can be any position. We're going to go other than quarterback.
Sure.
You cannot pick two quarterbacks in this draft. And with that, I say we get started.
Let's do it.
And this is all confirming for anybody that may have had questions. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have questions on what the hell just happened.
They're doing some sort of fantasy horse race thing.
This is fantasy from the standpoint of once you pick them, the other people cannot.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
They're off the board once chosen.
All right. Well,
Trip Upton.
Yes.
You have the first pick of the 2026 Auburn football roster draft. Who's it going to be, Mr. Upton?
Do we get like the on the clock?
I know. I did the thing where I X'd out of it and I didn't mean to. And then
I should have brought a Vontae Mack, no matter who, prop and just thrown it and see if anyone opened it. I think I have to go Byron Brown here. I think just the positional value you're going to get. I know that you have to continue to have a strength throughout the rest of your team, but I just, the fall off, you know, it. Your draft strategy changes if you don't get Tristan Tia, and if you can go ahead and lock that in before and not have to worry about it, I think it's going to be a very easy pick to take Byron Brown here, because I think I have guys, even if my top guys go at certain other skill positions and key positions, there's enough depth that I like.
True.
That I think I'm fine. Quarterback, funny enough, the positional average for quarterback is the 44th pick of the draft. Because Tristan Tia and the QB3 that I on Jack's projections, Lachlan Hewitt, is so low, it drags down, even though Byron Brown is the 1-1 in all projections.
All right.
Christian.
So Byron Brown is off the board. And if you are okay with it, I think the draft noise is once per segment.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. Good with that.
Let's do it.
Otherwise,
it's going to be way too much.
We got -2 listeners on the show here this afternoon. All right, you went with number 17 on offense. I feel like it's only right that I go number 17 on defense. Give me the best linebacker in the country. Give me the captain, the guy that I refer to as Mr. Box and One, from the standpoint of just ultimate freedom in this defense, is going to be an absolute stud, the best spy in the country. Give me Xavier Atkins to man my linebacker core, to be the captain of my defense.
I think those are the almost given 1 and 2 picks. That's where I would have gone to if I had either of those picks, 1 and 2. Byron Brown, Xavier Atkins. There's a lot of ways you could go with the third pick of the draft. The good thing is that we are doing a snake draft. And so today, what I'm thinking is we'll end out this first round, maybe take a break, and then do the next round, next segment. You want to do that, Christian? Or you want to go ahead and do a few more?
We'll see how fast we can get through
all right.
Everything.
How about, give me for my first round pick, I'll take Jeremiah Cobb off the board. That may be kind of an easy pick, but I do think that it's getting probably the number one running back on the roster this season. And I think that that's just some name value that I'll go ahead and grab, and I'll be set up with my second round pick to begin that.
I think we can work our way one more way. We'll get back to Trip, and then we'll call it for the segment.
With my second round pick, give me the best offensive lineman on this squad. I'll take Cole Best off of here and go ahead and secure that interior offensive line. He's coming over from South Florida, going to be one of the leaders on this team. Give me Cole Best up the middle.
I'm writing all this down. Hold on.
I got it.
I'm also writing all of mine as well. Okay, I like Cole Best. I have Xavier Atkins. Ooh. There's enough receivers on here that I think I can wait a little bit. But I'm going to stick on the defensive side of the football. I think it's a guy that really impressed some names his freshman year. I think is expected to make a big-time step up this next season. And then,
don't do it to me.
Could this slide a little bit further? Maybe. But I want to guarantee that my edge rusher is where it needs to be. And it's number 41. Give me Jared Smith.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. That's who I was going to go right here.
There we go.
Good love positional value.
Is he Auburn's best defensive lineman this year?
Good
regardless
question.
Of position, edge, defensive lineman, anything
good
like that.
Good question. I'm not. I don't know.
Auburn's defensive line is in such a unique spot, especially because the edge rusher feels like you can almost play that exterior outside linebacker rather than like Malik Autry is going to just be, I mean, the guy that swallows up any sort of interior run game. And so, at least from the speed perspective, I would say so. I mean, this is a guy that's going to be an absolute bullet off the edge.
Christian stacking the defenders.
Yes.
Early.
I mean, hey, that's a good strategy. Definitely a good strategy there. Looking at
I'm like Auburn of recent years.
Looking at my pick here to end off round two, I think you have to go a position where the drop-off is pretty impressive. And I know that, like, you might be thinking, wow, this is a really early time to pick an offensive tackle. But I think the drop-off after these top two guys, I'd rather go ahead and lock one in. Give me Stanton Ramil here. Just a guy that can move people, and I'd rather lock in a top-end offensive tackle because, I mean, OT3, according to the best projection, Mr. Wilson Zarir, if I'm saying that correctly, at the 18-2. So could potentially could go on, like, I'd rather not have to worry about that. Give me a guy early.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that because I do think, like, Jack Lyer and Jacob Strand are also on the board. You got Joseph Simmons there, too. So a lot of places that you could go.
Simmons was also in consideration for that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few that I think could get some time this year, but certainly I think there are some betters on the board, and that's a good one to cross off the list.
There we go.
Christian, what do you want to do? You want to go ahead and take a break?
Yeah, yes, we're two rounds down. I think it's time for a break. We'll come back and maybe able to dive into this a little bit. Otherwise, we'll continue talking, maybe some outside conversation to wrap up the first hour. And then again, this is going to constitute all of hour number two as well. So we'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one and can talk a little bit more Auburn football right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Trip Upton across from me, Jack Hutton, to our right. And appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Can we squeeze one more round? Let's do it. So we are two rounds down of our Auburn football, the annual draft. And Trip, now you get to start with round three, pick one.
I'm going to go the guy that's been impressing so much in spring practice and has moved himself up to the top of his position group. Give me Chaz Nimrod at the wide receiver position, continuing offense. I know it's been offense heavy, but I got some sleepers on the defensive side of the ball and some other positions that I'm fine taking a little bit of value on.
I don't mind that whatsoever. Mm-mm, nope. I thought you were going to go somewhere else for a guy that is creeping up the depth chart. You guys know pretty well. A guy that wore those colors that both of you were wearing a couple of years ago and should be having his first year on the Plains, instead is going into year two. And I'm expecting a lot from Mr. Omar Mapson this year. I think that is a
didn't think he'd
a
make
bit
it back
of a steal.
To me.
So my first offensive player is Omar Mapson.
I'm going to go I'm going to go ahead and give you round three, and then I just got two players I think that I really want to grab before they're off the board, and I'm glad this got around to me. I've stayed on offense. I've got Jeremiah Cobb, Cole Best. We're going to run the ball. Let me switch over to the defense and get the two defensive players that I think are highest on my board right now. The first one, Eric Winters.
Ooh.
Goes off the board. I'm going to take my safety.
Really?
And go Eric Winters. I think that is the most underrated player on Auburn's defense. I think he's in for an incredible year.
I think he's going to
be a starter on this team. I think he's going to be very, very counted upon this year. Give me Eric Winters.
I didn't realize, and everybody always says this when you're looking at, you know, players on TV, that it's like, wow, I didn't realize when you see him in person how big he is. But I, for the Iron Bowl last year, I stood on the sideline and got to watch a lot of the warm-ups, and I did not realize how ginormous mm-hmm. Eric Winters is. Safety position, you think about, you know, the skinny ankles, you think about very long, very lengthy. I mean, this is a run stopper build, yet has the freak athleticism to be able to play safety in the SEC. I think that's a really, really solid pick. So
yeah.
Round three now in the books. Trip, read out your guys so far.
So I have Byron Brown at the 1-1. I have Stanton Ramil at the 2-3 and Chaz Nimrod at the 3-1.
I like that. I have Omar Mapson as my running back, Jared Smith and Xavier Atkins so far manning my defense.
And then I've got Jeremiah Cobb running the ball, Cole Best up the middle on offensive line, and then Eric Winters, the captain of the defense back there.
We'll start it up.
That'll be good. I mean, yeah, I think that that's really I see three different draft philosophies. I love it. We're going to be getting down to the end of things, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, we'll continue on with this in hour number two. You feel like everybody right now is still at a spot of, okay, this team's still really, really solid. We'll continue to work through it and see some of the more interesting strategies as we continue our 2026 Auburn football player draft in hour number two.
An Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Rain continues to fall, and we continue our 2026 Auburn football player draft here in hour number two.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Friday edition of On the Line. He is Tripp Upton. He is Jack Hutton. I am Christian Griffin here with you in the studio, counting you down to the weekend. If you're listening and your weekend's already started, jealous of you. Happy for you, but jealous of you. And if not, couple more hours, and we're almost there. We are almost there. Tell you what, we're almost to high school football season as well. We are 7 days, essentially, from being in hour number two on game day. And that is a crazy thought. That is a somewhat scary thought, to be completely honest with you. But if that's the scariest thought, then that's a pretty good one. That means that we are ready for game day. We, all three of us, very, very much so. Our days have been consumed by high school football, which is a fantastic problem to have with Auburn High School and with Lee Scott Academy. 7 days until we kick things off at the Duck and over at Judd Scott Field. So, again, we'll tell you more about that. Continue our high school coverage as well as the weeks go along. We'll talk a little bit more about that on Monday, about what our high school schedule is going to look like in terms of coverage, in terms of interviews here on ESPN 106.7. We started hour number one here this afternoon, diving into some of the hot takes in college football, and talked a lot about Texas, talked about LSU, talked about some of the G6 teams that we expect to make a big time impact this year that could possibly pull some upsets, that could make their way, sneak their way into the college football playoff. And then we began our Auburn football player draft, and that is what we are going to continue to do here in hour number two. If you missed any of hour number one, you can always go back and check it out at our podcast center over at ESPNAU.com. And again, here in hour number two, again, a lot of the same. Tripp Upton, Jack Hutton, and Christian Griffin with you in the studio, and kind of rolling through the intro side of things, just so that way we can pick things back up and keep on going, because we realized that we wanted to add another position. So we're going to have two flex players, and we'll tell you about those rules here in just a moment. The phone lines are closed here this afternoon, but the Send Medicine text box is always open, which you can be a part of at 334-784-1685. Again, 334-784-1OT. It's always brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven health care to the Plains. You can find out more and become a member today by visiting SenMedicine.com, S-E-N-N Medicine.com. Again, whether you are just growing up, whether you're in college, whether you're already enjoying the adulthood, or whether you've hit retirement already, he's had find a way to take care of you in every step of life. So appreciate everything that he does for us here on ESPN 106.7.
And before we get to the Auburn player draft, you got to be able to support these guys, not only from your fan perspective, but also with NIL. And that's what On to Victory is trying to do with their Card and Memorabilia show, August 22nd and 23rd at Neville Arena. Head over to ontovictory.com/card show to find out more about the two-day event, featuring more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, collectibles, plus some vendors will even have Pokemon cards. Jack, were you a big Pokemon guy growing up at all?
Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm kidding, no. Not really. But okay. I respect the game.
Gotcha. Neville Arena will play host to all of this, plus there will be celebrity autographs from the likes of Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, and Dominique Wilkins. Auburn's going to have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet the various players and teams that will compete for both Auburn University Athletics this year, as well as our Auburn roster draft teams this season. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance your experience. Are you a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports? Then August 22nd and 23rd will be the two-day fan experience like no other. Aubie is also planning on making an appearance there as well, both days, and there will be a kids zone with activities to make those days even more memorable. For more information on ticketing, pricing, a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/card show, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes along with the Auburn student athletes of today. That's ontovictory.com/card show. Card show is all one word.
And do want to shout out also in Neville Arena coming up here in the next couple of months on Friday, October 16th. Nate Bargatze making his way to Neville Arena with the Big Dumb Eyes World Tour, but the Big Dumb Eyes go to college. And so tickets now are live on that side of things. And so you can look up Nate Bargatze Auburn. Look up anything you need to buy tickets, auburntigers.com, to go and secure your spot for, again, the largest grossing comedian in the world right now. Again, completely family-friendly. It's something that we absolutely love being a part of. This is somebody that I have watched for quite some time, and it is truly a joy to go and watch, to go and listen to. And so highly encourage everybody to go out there to Neville Arena Friday, October 16th, and make your way to go see Mr. Nate Bargatze. But I don't think you're drafting Nate Bargatze, Mr. Jack Hutton. We have made our way through four rounds here of the Auburn football player draft, and we are in the middle of the snake back to Trip Upton, who was the 1-1 of yes. our draft, but we sit with Mr. Hutton. That's why I said making our way back to the snake.
I'm sorry.
We're at the
right,
tail.
You're right. Thought you were about to give Trip my pick.
No, we're at the butt of the
snake.
I said,
you tripping.
How many times is that going to be used on the Auburn High
That's
Sports
not
Network?
Good. Oh, don't do that to me.
Once. You get to pick and choose when you can use it.
Once. Yeah, that's
right,
fair.
Jack, you just went with one defensive player in Mr. Eric Winters. Do you stay on the defensive side of the football, or do you go offensive? I know you said you were torn between a couple of guys, and you've now had like 15 minutes to figure out where you want to go.
Yeah, I have, and I still hadn't done a whole lot in that time, so I kind of closed my eyes and picked one here. But I think this does well. It gets me started. It gets me through another position, and I think that I'm going to be happy with this because I think there are a few guys you could take here, but I think there's one that really stands out to me. He's on that defensive line. I'll take former five-star and Opelika Bulldog Malik Autry to shore up my interior defensive lineman. I think he's primed for a breakout year. I think he's going to be a guy that Auburn really leans on up the middle like that. Been getting really good reports out of practice from him, and it sounds like Malik Autry and another guy in there have really kind of wreaked havoc, but I think Auburn fans are going to really like Malik Autry and that name, I'll go ahead and shore up my defensive line.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that whatsoever. Now, I'm trying to sit here because I have Omar Mapson as my running back, and I have Jared Smith and Xavier Atkins manning my defense. I still feel there are two receivers, though. So it's like, do I go ahead and take one of those, or do I wait for just a moment? Ooh. Where is this guy on the – this is also something I should have done oh, he's a little bit further down. Okay, I think I can wait then on.
That thing is not law now.
It's
that,
not.
That is ChatGPT.
Yes.
One question. Tripp's using it as the Bible over here.
I'm not using it as the Bible because, again, I've disagreed with ChatGPT on a couple picks.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And so I use that for, again, I have on my spreadsheet the player I want versus the best available per projection.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
So based on the numbers, that is what they think I should do. I've picked one person at value and then two people, quote unquote, over value. But I think the positional value is what weighed them with Nimrod and Ramil.
I could see that. I could see that.
Well, regardless, I won't pay too much attention to it yet because the QB1 is already manned up, and so I could wait a little bit to get that quarterback position, but he's got to have his top target to throw to, and a guy making his way from South Florida, I feel like it's only best that Mr. Keyshawn Singleton makes his way to Christian Griffin's draft board. And so he will be my first receiver, wide receiver one. Keyshawn Singleton makes his way onto my board.
Good pick. Really good pick right there.
Yeah, I think that's solid. I had him as either two or three originally. I had Chaz Nimrod up there just like you did.
Funny enough, I had Keyshawn at my wide receiver.
Did you?
Four.
I think I had him at three, but... Okay. I think he's up there.
So looking at my picks, I have Byron Brown, Stanton Ramil, and Chaz Nimrod. And I think the positions you've got to shore up early are those defensive line and wide receiver positions. And I have one of them I need to get able to. I have one of my notes, take a DL and OT in rounds 4 and 5 if possible. I've already taken my OT, but now I got to go my D lineman. Give me Cody Sigler.
Yeah.
The Arkansas State transfer, a guy that I really am high on this year. I think, you know, he's named as one of Auburn's breakout targets, one of the best transfers in the country. I think that he's going to be a stud for them, and I get another guy on my players I want list for this defensive line.
Snake it to round 5 now. Tripp, back to you.
Back to me, and I think that I look at some of the positions I need.
I forgot about that. I was getting ready to make my pick. Now I'm a little scared.
Looking at it, looking at what you guys have taken, you've both taken a running back. So I can wait a little bit to take my running back of choice. Jack does not have a wide receiver. Christian does. Christian has a linebacker and an edge. Jack has offensive line. And looking at the positional value here, I think you've got to be able to get a good guy in the secondary. And I'm going to go new boy Fagans out of Thompson High School coming in and manning my safety. I really like him, and I think that that is a very valuable position. He was my top-rated safety in this draft. So being able to get him here, another guy that I really liked.
Christian Griffin, to you. Tripp has taken Cody Sigler and Anquan Fagans, two defenders who are going to shore that Auburn defense up and help some of those holes that are being vacated. But who you got over there, Christian, for your 5th-round pick?
Man.
Got 2 defensive players and 2 offensive players so far. He's got Xavier Atkins and Jared Smith on defense, and then Omar Mabson running the ball and Keyshawn Singleton grabbing passes.
I almost wish. Hold on, let me do some. Okay, no, we are in this spot, so we're still okay. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna get an offensive tackle. It's a guy that has legitimate experience, legitimate college football playoff experience, and I think that Joe Simmons fits that spot very, very well for the Auburn Tigers. I need to go ahead and man down an offensive tackle, and I think he's a pretty solid one. Give me Joseph Simmons as my offensive tackle.
I think that pick will do just fine. Joe Simmons probably going to be your starting right tackle this year. I think there's a few guys that could play that tackle spot. Both of those starters are off the board now, so luckily for me, I'm going to go ahead and wait on that and jump around a little bit here. I've got a running back in Jeremiah Cobb. I got Cole Best on the interior, Eric Winters and Malik Autry on defense, but I need a linebacker, and I'm going to take who I think is the best available after Xavier Atkins. Elijah Melendez off the board in the 5th round to the Jack Hutton, whatever you want to call us.
I think that's a pretty solid pick.
Good value pick. According to ChatGPT, he should have been picked at pick 9. Or eight, oh wait, not even pick 9, at 3-1. Let me do the math in
That'd
my
be head. 7.
That'd be 7.
Count so, at home.
So, yes, yeah, so that's a big pickup right there.
I had him as my, I think I had him 5th on the list and wondered if I could wait and Luckily, I did. With that, I've got I've got a pretty good defense shored up. I'm going to go back to the offensive side. I don't have anybody catching the ball yet. I need one of those. There are two guys that I'm looking at that could really fit in this position. I really want to pick one, but I don't think I could call him wide receiver one. And I think there's a chance that this guy I am going to say could turn into wide receiver one. I'll take Jeremiah Koger off the board as the first pick of the sixth round.
Good pick.
Yes, was somebody that you think flew under the radar a little bit just because you heard so much about Keyshawn Singleton. But the big body receiver, we saw him in the little impromptu 11-on-11, one versus one. Byron Brown just loft one up, and Jeremiah Koger just went up and manhandled the football and sprinted towards the end zone. And so I think that's a very, very solid pick. Jeremiah Koger, I just had him pulled up. Hold on.
Did well at USF, of course, last year. You know, Keyshawn Singleton and him were their main guys. Chaz Nimrod, I think, went through some injuries last year, if I remember correctly. There's a lot of buzz about him in camp, but Koger and Singleton both have been guys that I think are going to be they've got NFL bodies, and we'll see what they turn into.
Yeah. Talk about Maryland pipeline on the offensive side of the football from Baltimore, 6'3", 213, only a sophomore as well. Caught 38 balls last year, 597 yards, 8 touchdowns, which is tied for 23rd in the country, averaged 15.5 a pop. And so, again, your big play receiver right there. And just speaking on that, also on the Keyshawn Singleton side of things, Alex Golish is trying to get some of those big body receivers, especially you have the slot guys that you can play anywhere between the numbers, but you need some of those, again, the Jeremiah Kogers, the Keyshawn Singletons, to be able to go up and win 50-50 balls. And we heard Cody Burns in the audio yesterday talk a lot about how we're going to take chances down the field because we trust our guys to go and make plays, because when you have a guy like Jeremiah Koger who's 6'3", a 50-50 ball is not a 50-50 ball, right? Yeah. It's about a 70-10-20 ball. It's 70% caught, 10% interception, 20% incompletion, and I'll take 90-10 odds in terms of a play that benefits the Auburn Tigers. And so I think that's a very solid pick, sitting here talking about somebody else's pick, but wanted to dive into that receiver room that very, very excited about.
Yes.
Oh, makes its way back to me here. Omar Mabson, Keyshawn Singleton, Joe Simmons, Jared Smith, and Xavier Atkins. I feel as if I need to go back, and it's at the point of, like, how long can I wait to get some of these names that I want to go ahead and knock down right now? Ooh.
How's your day going, Tripp?
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Go out on that limb, buddy.
A big-time limb.
Alex McPherson.
Quarterback.
This is a guy who's going to be playing his first snap at Auburn this year.
Mm.
From the state of Florida last year.
Ah! I think I know where you're going.
Manning the cornerback position. I am very excited about Shamar Arnaud.
Yeah.
He was my corner three. That was a good pickup.
I think this is somebody. Could I have waited? Possibly. Do I want to just make a little bit of noise here on this draft? Yes, because I think Shamar Arnaud is going to be a very, very solid pickup for this Auburn team. And you look at the cornerback room and how young it is. I think there's a lot of guys that could play that role, but very, very excited about the sophomore, 6'2", 195 from Fort Lauderdale. Wanted to come to Auburn, decided to go to Florida State, entered the transfer portal, and Auburn picked him right back up. 19 tackles last year, also had a pass deflection. I think is going to see really good playing time. Shamar Arnaud as my surprise corner. Could I probably have gotten him as a flex, maybe, but again, go ahead and get my surprise
get
out of
guy.
The way.
That's
I
your
like
guy. Draft your guy.
Draft your guy. It's your draft. I'm going to stick with corner. I'm going to react to that, kind of force a little bit of a run here. Rayshon Pleasant, I mean, the special teamer, value that he's going to be able to bring.
That was my other question was, yeah, does Rayshon Pleasant get credit for special teams, or is this strictly the cornerback position?
I think it's full value. I mean, I think you're getting some special teams value there if you're going Pleasant.
Yeah, and I mean, he's also been a great corner in practice. Again, a guy that's going to really be charged with stopping whoever they're playing's number one, on the, whether it's Isaiah Canyon for Georgia, it's Ryan Coleman-Williams for Alabama, it's LSU's wide receivers, it's Eric Singleton at Florida right now. I think that he's going to be such a valuable piece here coming up this season.
I like it. Is that six rounds down that
we
have
six.
Here?
That is six rounds down.
We may have to speed it up a tiny bit. 3:20 already, but we'll go ahead and take a break. We'll come back. We will continue diving into this Auburn football player draft and work our way closer to the season. Continue to tell you more names that you need to know that are going to be playing for the Orange and Blue here coming up in 2026.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
We continue on here on the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Trip Upton across from me, Jack Hudden off to our right. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Having a good time, continuing to catch you down to the weekend, continuing to dive into our Auburn football player draft. We have now gone through... That scared me.
Thank you, Jack.
Man, as the commissioner is on... I mean. Man, we have gone through six rounds. We are now working our way into our seventh maturity trip. It is back to Trip, right?
It is the seventh
round seven pick
yes,
one.
Correct.
So, real quickly, read off your team before you go and make your pick.
So I have Byron Brown, Stanton Ramil, and Chaz Nimrod on the offensive side of the football, three in a row. Then I did three defensive players in a row with Cody Sigler, Anquan Feagins, and Rayshon Pleasant, all guys that I had on my quote-unquote best team big board. So I'm really happy about that. And I've got some guys here that I could take some value in, but I'm going to stay on the defensive side of the ball. A guy that we talked a little bit about over the break as a, do we want to pick him? There's another guy that I like, but I just would rather get this guy out of the way and just build a defense where I'm getting one of my top two guys at least. Give me Deshaun Womack, a guy, the transfer from Ole Miss, if he's able to play this year, is going to be phenomenal.
I agree with you. That's a good pick there. I think he's going to shore up that edge department. Jared Smith and him, I think, are going to make a lot of quarterbacks uneasy this year.
Ooh, Omar Mapson, Keyshawn Singleton, Joe Simmons, Jared Smith, Xavier Atkins, and Shamar Arnaud are taken by yours truly. And I continue to work my way. I make the flip back to the flip. And I'm going to go out and get another guy. It's a position that has been very underutilized by this Auburn team of the past.
Oh, where he's going, I think.
A guy that played a pretty big impact last year for the Bulls.
Never mind.
Yep. I know where he's going.
I know where he's going now, actually. Yeah.
Only caught 9 passes, but a lot of those were in the red zone and had 3 touchdown grabs as well.
I'm typing it in.
A 6'6 sophomore from Franklin, Georgia. A big time blocking body as well. Give me Jonathan Echols.
I like it. I was worried about the run at this position at the tight end room because that is such a position. Again, numerically, it's one of the lowest quality positions, and I say that because of a lot of big question marks, because if you don't get one of the top two guys, like, good luck. But Jonathan Echols, I'm very high on him. He's just a monster.
Anywhere is number one as a tight end. You're going to be an absolute dog.
Yep.
If you imagine coming in motion. All right, and Auburn's running a zone read with Jeremiah Cobb and Byron Brown. The D end, who Echols just leaves out to dry, bites for Jeremiah Cobb. Byron Brown keeps it. And you have Jonathan Echols, a 6'6 tight end, wearing number one, setting the edge on the outside linebacker. You're going to find yourself with your butt in the dirt.
Wish you a whole lot of luck.
And then all of a sudden it's Byron Brown who has either a foot race, lower your shoulder, or a juke move on a safety. Yeah, GG's. Jonathan Echols, welcome to the team.
Trip, did you say about Jonathan Echols that if you don't get – or tight end room, that you don't get the top two, good luck?
In my personal opinion, yes.
Okay, good luck. Jake Johnson goes off the board in round seven at the tight end spot for myself.
Fine.
Transfer from North Carolina. I think he's going to be the mainstay in that room. Jonathan Eckel's definitely going to catch a lot of touchdown passes. I think Jake Johnson's going to catch a lot of short yardage situations and maybe some seam routes like
that. Third and four hitches.
Yep. And then I in this eighth round, so my defense, I'm really excited about what this could turn into. And I'm going to keep the big swings going here. I'm going to go Andre Jordan Jr. as my corner spot. Transfer from UCLA. He was top 10 guys in incompletions per target last year in the country. Give me Andre Jordan Jr., the corner, to come in and shore down one of those spots.
Good pick.
I don't mind that whatsoever.
It's, you know, maybe this, I don't want to say this exposed me a little bit here, but hearing what you talk about him, I know that we had the UCLA transfer and I was, you know, seeing his name on the sheet. It's like, okay, Andre Jordan, then you say all that stuff. It's like, right, that's why we're so excited about this defense. And so definitely a guy that I have Rayshon Pleasant, so I'm not going to complain here, but that guy, that's a good value pick here.
Christian, back to you.
It's a position that I haven't really gone after quite yet, but I feel as if it's time for me to.
Speaking of time, we are low on the break.
We are low on that. We have the music and manual.
Yeah,
that's true.
We can get through nine probably.
Okay,
because I'm
that's on me.
That's
a hand up over here. That's on me.
It's okay.
Oh man, I don't know. I may need more time to dive into. Okay, I'm going to do it. It's a guy that's also going to be playing his first snap for Auburn this year.
Interesting.
But he's also playing his first snap of collegiate football.
No.
He's going with a freshman.
And it's a name that I would say at Auburn High knows decently well.
Oh.
The star of A-Day.
Ah.
Dang it. That was
who has put on whose one thing that he talked about over the summer was saying he wanted to put on a little bit more weight, put on 15 pounds. You know him as Deshaun Spencer.
And is catching some balls this
that
summer.
That was
man,
legitimately,
you.
I did not think you were going there, and I had copied and pasted him as my next pick. Okay.
I love it.
No, the good. Okay. So here, I'm looking at what I need, and
I also have a special connection with Deshaun Spencer since I won the A-Day.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Yeah.
My name is, I don't know exactly where in the overall like year-long catalog for guessing the MVP rights and then also guessing the attendance in A-Day. I was like eight people off, and so my name is somewhere
That's awesome.
On the giant media outlook.
Okay, so as I continue through my draft, I've got my guys in the back that I need to go ahead, but this is a position where I think I can get some big guys. I'm going to first take Jordan Crawford, defensive lineman, shore up my defensive line. A guy, he's behind Autry and Sigler, he was my D lineman three, and I really think he could have an impact rotationally for this defense that is looking to continue their run-stopping ability.
Good stuff out of him coming through the beat writing wire, if you will. There's a lot of smoke about Jordan Crawford in practice.
And for my next pick and my first pick of round nine, going a guy that was one of the youngest players in college football last season, and a guy from Bartow County, Georgia, the 6'7", 8" stand-up. Give me Cale Ellis, a guy that maybe might not get as much time in terms of starting this year with a guy like Cole Best, but he played a lot and played decently in relief for Connor Liu. I think if I was to build an offensive line and over the next 3 or 4 years, Cale Ellis is one of the guys that I would turn to.
He could also play a guard spot this year, I think, is the important part of Cale Ellis.
Yes.
The fact that you could shift him around and could have Cole Best and Cale Ellis on the line at the same time to start.
There we go. We continue on talking Auburn football and the player draft. We'll take a break. We will come back and we will quickly continue on with this player draft and hopefully near the end to where we have a little bit of time to discuss the entire team and hopefully maybe pick a winner here as we continue on here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
halfway through hour number two. You're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Continuing on here on the Friday edition of On the Line, here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7, and continuing our Auburn football player draft. Going to make this segment a little bit quicker here than we usually do. We want to give, a deep dive into kind of every player and what they're expecting to do, but time management and how much we love to talk about it, the Auburn Tigers, makes it to where we realize, oh, we got to go. And so you have the last pick. Is it back to me?
No, yes, it is back to you. I picked Ellis at my last pick.
That is 100% of a contradicting myself because the whole time, for some reason, Tripp, I thought it was you and I thought I had time. But I don't have any time whatsoever.
I can fill time if you want me to.
Yeah, will you sing something for us? No, I'm just kidding.
Tripp, there are... there are four oceans in the world. Can you name the four oceans?
Well, there's the Southern Ocean. That is going
there
to be
there are five oceans in the world. Can you name the five oceans?
Do not test Tripp with his...
Atlantic, Pacific, Arctic, Indian, Southern.
Very nice.
Tripp,
very
will you
nice.
Give us, while I think for 10 seconds, give us a random historical
fact. Historical fact.
You
is,
are not ready for this. This may need to be a part of the Auburn High broadcast. I'm not even joking.
Okay. A random historical fact here is that the... you put me on the spot here. I got to think here.
Well, I don't have to think...
Yeah, you go ahead. I'll think of something.
For some reason, it was messing me up because I wrote Shamaro Noah as my safety, and so I was trying to think about like where I messed up. No, he is a cornerback, so I can go to my safety, and what better man than the Pirate himself, the one who was able to man the defensive side of the football at SEC Media Days. Give me Champ Anthony to hold it down. Coming back from injury, I'm expecting a very, very big year now that he's finally able to be healthy and hopefully see the field for quite some time. Champ Anthony, the Pirate. Is going to be
pick.
In
yeah,
my
second
I like that for pick value this late. I'm going to go ahead, and I've only got a couple of picks left on my defensive side, and I think I'm just going to close it out because this is looking really strong. For my ninth round pick, I'm going to go. I know he's. You've got Dallas Walker that's available on the defensive line, and I do think that he's going to be a mainstay of this squad. But I really like what I hear about Buddy Mathis Jr. Give me Walter Mathis Jr., the LSU transfer on my defensive line to go with Malik Autry, and that'll shore it up the middle. And then skipping on to the 10th round here, I look back up at my offense. I still got a few positions that I need to fill, but I'm okay with waiting for a second on those. I think I will stay on defense, and I'm going to end my defense with J.J. Falk at the edge position. Younger brother of Keldrick Falk going to come through and shore up the edge spot. Deshaun Womack, Jared Smith already out. And so I think that that's where I'll go next. I'll go J.J. Falk. I challenge you to go against my defense. Malik Autry, Buddy Mathis, J.J. Falk, Elijah Melendez, Andre Jordan Jr., and Eric Winters. I got studs back there, homie.
Yeah, that's... It's pretty solid.
It's pretty solid.
Right there. Ooh. All right, well, I need an offensive guard. And I think that they're, if you're going to do it, the safe route would be one that knows this offense, knows the system, knows the quarterback. And I think Cole Skinner is somebody that can play that role. I think Cole Skinner is going to be a good part of this offensive line. So give me Mr. Skinner as the offensive guard to round out my offensive line unit.
Good pick. Good pick. Looking at the guys they're going to be blocking for, I need a running back. Jeremiah Cobb and my guy Omar Mabson are off the board. And I am sitting here, and I had a guy that I was going to go. I was going to go Tay Meadows because I just didn't know what shape Bryson Washington would look like. But then I thought about it, and I said, man, remember that Baylor running game that was supposed to be really, really good going into last year? Remember who was the guy that was supposed to be there? Mr. Bryson Washington. What if he gets back into shape? I got to go Bryson Washington here at my 10-3. And at my 11-1, I need a linebacker. And this is the best position according to the ChatGPT matrix.
The fact that, there's still really good linebackers.
There are two that I'm really betwining between, but I'm going to go Bryce Dees at the linebacker room, a guy really? That's really turning some heads.
Interesting pick there. I had another above him, but interesting pick. I don't think you can go wrong.
No, you can't go wrong there. I mean, especially with Xavier Atkins off the board, who I really liked, and I was Menendez was my linebacker two, my linebacker three, Bryce Dees.
I'm just kidding. I actually had the same thing.
Okay,
I had Bryce just above the other one.
Yes.
Just above him.
The other one to not be named.
Yes.
defensive line for me, it feels like the no-name or the no-brain pick right now for what is still left right now. Give me Dallas Walker, the fourth, is my first defensive lineman. I feel like that's a solid value.
Christian, you've got I know that it feels like you're kind of limping along, but you got a scary team here. I mean, you got some dudes over there. 11th round, I got to go – Christian, you're going to hate me. I got to go with the position that only has two that you feel like you could put out there and they could really compete right now. I don't think that having the third string of these is a death sentence by any stretch, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it and shore this up. I'll take Tristan Tia to be my quarterback. I don't think that he's going to have the same playing time as Byron Brown, obviously, this year. I hope not, but I do think that's your quarterback for the future. So I got my quarterback in there, and then I'm going to go back over to the wide receiver room to finish off. Well, I got one more pick after this on offense, but for the 12th round, I want who do I want there? Sam Turner. Take Sam Turner off the board in a wide out
really,
spot.
Really good. I think I picked Sam Turner last year just because, again, this is a guy that I am very, very excited to see back healthy. Again, it's a loaded wide receiver room, but very, very excited for
– very excited.
Very, very excited for his great success here.
Great success.
I don't dislike that pick whatsoever. Ooh, okay, back to me. We only have two more traditional spots, right?
Correct.
I believe that's right. I've got one
you
more
have one
after
left.
That pick.
Yes,
so, yeah.
Okay, so I have a defensive line and a quarterback. Ooh. Chris Murray's right there. Darian Smith is right there.
And we cannot pick our flex players before we fill out our lineup. So you're kind of to the point now where you're picking position. You have to pick that position if you do it.
6'4", 320-pound freshman, Tavian Branch.
Yeah, I love that pick.
From Taylor, Pennsylvania. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah.
Good pick right
there. Freshman that a lot of people think could come in and contribute right away.
This is somebody that I look at in 2 years and go, remember, I picked him his freshman year.
Good pick. I'm going a guy here. I need this position. I need a tight end to start off, and I was between two guys, but looking at the production, one of them only caught one catch for a 9-yard touchdown at his last spot at Howard University. The other one not only played in the SEC, caught a couple, 6 touchdowns in the SEC before transferring here. If they can get him back into playing shape, he's going to be Arliss Boardingham at the tight end position. Another guy that I was not going to take coming into this draft. And then I was like, because I thought I was going to get a top 2 tight end personally. And then I thought about it and I needed a new guy there. Looking at the 13th round, Sam Turner was going to be my pick and you stole him from me, but it's okay. Because I have, there's two guys here at the wide receiver position that you could really like. One of them knows this system. The other one knows this university. And really, it's do you believe in the hype of the recruiting of one guy versus the familiarity of the other? And that's what I've kind of got to decide here. Looking at this, I'm gonna go Kyle Neptune. I've heard some good things about him. Sneaky guy at my wide receiver, too. I really like what both him and Mr. Chaz Nimrod will be able to do for my team.
Yeah, it's a good pick. Christian Neptune coming in from South Florida, I think, is going to be a guy that's probably in that slot, kind of like a Deshaun Spencer. But
Chris Neptune?
Certainly see him. Christian Neptune.
I have Kyle Neptune, the head coach of Villanova.
Yeah, that'd be Christian Neptune. Was wondering what that was about.
Yes, sorry.
I mean, you can pick him if you would really, really like to.
Not going to be concerned with Jack Pluto.
All right.
I'll give you a fist bump for that one. Which is technically a dwarf planet, and it actually, this is your front face tree fact, Pluto is only considered a planet when it passes over New Mexico. Why? Because that was the state it was discovered in.
And where is New Mexico? The Earth. And where is the draft happening? The Earth. Christian, your next draft pick.
And who did Auburn lose to?
New Mexico State.
Boom. That's like the Wikipedia connection of like, all right, how many searches can I get before I end on LeBron James, whatever the case may be. My final regular season pick, if you will. Do I? No. Give me Reese Brush. Very excited with the arm talent.
Very excited.
I need a quarterback, and either that or do I go like, is Colvin going to be like the scout team quarterback to where he brings a lot of value to the defense? Yeah. But no, give me Reese Brush to man my quarterback
again,
position.
If you put your team out there, just like you're in a neutral spot, is Reese Brush going to be able to quarterback him?
Sure.
I think there's a case to be made that not only this year, but in a few seasons, he could be your starter. I mean, he could be the guy that gets under. So I don't think that's a bad one at all.
Speaking of Gary Chapman, was it last night or was it two nights ago?
I think it might have been last night.
Last night, played absolutely incredible for Brookwood. So shout out to the former or the future Auburn quarterback. Jack, the final quote-unquote regular season pick, if you will.
Yeah, I need an offensive tackle. Already two have gone off the board. Joe Simmons and Stanton Ramil are not there anymore. I could go the freshman, Wilson Zierer. I think he's going to play at some point during his career. But I'm going to go Jacob Strand, transfer that comes in, I believe, from Oregon State. Or is he the Stanford guy? Which one is the – I get him mixed up. There's Layer
– former Pac-12.
Yeah, former Pac-12 player. I'm going to go Jacob Strand. I think he's been a guy that has been on the coach's radar. And I think another thing about him is that he's got some positional versatility. So I think he could play tackle, guard, and maybe a little center if they need him to. So I'll go get Jacob Strand, and that'll do it for our regular season draft, if you will.
Perfect. So we have two flex positions, and those can be anything outside of a quarterback, but again, Lachlan Hewitt, Will Myers, John Colvin, great guys.
We love them.
We do. We do, in fact, love them. but I think we can find a little bit more.
I think there's a little more value.
Value out there in terms of that. And so we'll go ahead and get this in the segment as well. Jack, your first flex spot. Again, this is not the traditional fantasy where it needs to be running back, receiver, tight end. This is anybody on the field that you think can make a big impact for the Tigers in 2026.
Yeah, I have two guys, and I'm gonna lean into this hard. They're the two best guys left on the board, and I'm gonna take them both. They're both on defense. One of them's a safety.
Well, you get one.
You get one. You're 14-1, and then you get the last pick of round 15.
Oh my gosh, I hate that now. Oh, I have one higher, but I want to draft the other one too really badly. I don't think I'm gonna get it. I got to go with my board though. No, I don't. DeMarcus Riddick comes off the board. That's my flex. I was sly. I was going to go with you, man. But I think DeMarcus Riddick brings a little bit more punch to this. Give me DeMarcus Riddick.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're right there because, Jacoby Matthews is a good one as well.
That's fine.
But I like sly. I'll take Sylvester Smith as my first flex spot.
And I'll make this pick before we go to break for our final round. A guy that I said I wanted earlier and I was hinting at, but didn't know he was going to play, but I'm going to get him anyway because I love this guy. Auburn's probably best player out of this class. Jacquez Wilkes, the Wadley freshman. If he gets some action this year, watch out.
That's great.
He could be really, really good.
That is really solid. That is very solid. We are 14 rounds down. One more draft. Who's going to be Mr. Irrelevant for the Auburn football player draft? I say that with the utmost amount of respect because that's just the name of the – that is not – for anybody out there like, whoa, don't call my son a – no, not that. But we have our final pick here coming up. We will wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton, Jack Hutton here in the studio as well. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Have a few minutes. We have one final pick of our Auburn football player draft, and we are working our way from Trip to Jack, correct?
Yes.
There we go. So read out this final one, and then we will go through our entire teams.
So I'm going to pick my hometown guy. Cartersville, Georgia, stand up. Bartow County, stand up. And a Purple Hurricane, a guy that should be at Georgia, should be at Michigan, but is at Auburn, a guy that I think is a very underrated for his size. You wouldn't think it, but he's a go-up-and-get-it wide receiver. Friend of me, friend of the family, Mr. Brady the Big Cheese Marchese.
The Big Cheese.
That is his nickname. Cheese. That is what he's called in awesome. Cartersville. That's what I know him as. That's the Cheese.
That's awesome.
That's a fantastic nickname.
I told him I would bring it here, and we brought it here. Let's do it.
We brought it here, baby. Okay. Have a lot of freedom that you could pick from this. You have, again, a guy like Caleb Harris. You have Jacoby Matthews that you could go and get. You still have a Tay Meadow, or you still have an Akai Davenport on the board. You still have a couple of other guys that I feel like you could. Shedarius Tootle is a good one. You have Scrap Richardson if you're looking at some special teams. Oh, special teams, you say? What about the man who's healthy yet again?
Are you
Mr. Alex McPherson?
Yes, I was really hoping somebody was going to do it.
Give me Alex McPherson as a flex that I feel like it is a crime that he's gone this late.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought we had a special teams pick and realized we didn't. And it was like,
yeah.
Give me the field goal kicker
sure. That's
going to, again, make up for anything that I don't have because you get across midfield and you have 3 points in the pocket. Alex McPherson, welcome to the squad.
It's a really good idea. I'm between two here. I'm going to go defense. I'm going to lean into defense. I think we're going to get what we get on offense. I think Blake Woodby might be a guy that takes one of those corner spots this year.
Yeah.
I have to go with who's been there and done it, though, and I think he's just going to be another staple yet again. I'm going to take my second safety off the board. Caleb Harris
comes to my squad.
I had him almost on my board, and then I remembered, there's Mr. Eric Winters. Okay, bet. Let's do it. Champ Anthony's a safety, not a corner? Yeah. All right, we're the safety position was just so loaded. That's such a good pickup at 15-3.
So here we go.
Very nice. Yeah, Jack, round it out. We got like 2 minutes or something to round out our team names or our team drafts.
Quarterbacking the squad, Tristan Tia. I've got Jeremiah Cobb at running back. My wide receivers, Jeremiah Koger and Sam Turner. Tight end, Jake Johnson. Offensive tackle, Jacob Strand. And my interior offensive lineman, Cole Best. And then on the defensive line, Malik Autry and Buddy Mathis. I've got J.J. Falk as my edge rusher. Elijah Melendez at linebacker, Andre Jordan Jr. at corner, safety, Eric Winters. And if you don't like my linebacker or safety picks, well, you can go ahead and dip into the substitution pool. I've got DeMarcus Riddick as a flex and Caleb Harris as a flex. You will not score on my squad. We may not score on you either, but you won't score on us.
My offense looks like this. Reese Brush manning the offense with Omar Mabson off his right or left hip. He has Keyshawn Singleton and Deshaun Spencer to throw the pigskin to. Jonathan Echols in there as well as the multifaceted blocker as well as the big body tight end. You have Joe Simmons and Cole Skinner manning the offensive line. Defensive line is a little bit skeptical. You have that with Dallas Walker and Tavian Branch. More of the question marks rather than the polished proven players.
It's potential.
But the potential is definitely there, but I tell you what, if you get past the first four, you're not getting past anywhere else. You have Jared Smith at the edge. You have Xavier Atkins in the middle, and then you have Shamar Arnaud, Champ Anthony, Sylvester Smith as my first flex, and once we get past midfield, we'll just kick field goals if we need to, because Alex McPherson was my final pick. Shout out
to 2016 Auburn.
Oh, just so good. And then we're just going to go beat teams 18-16.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking at my squad, I mean, it all starts with number 17, Byron Brown. Bryson Washington, we're going to get him into shape. We're going to get him on the treadmill, get him in the weight room, and make him be the running back. My wide receivers, I'm going to have three to throw around to the the yard with Chaz Nimrod, Christian Neptune, and Brady the Big Cheese Marchese. Arliss Boardingham, we're going to get him back to his Florida form at the tight end position. And my offensive line, it's a mix of experience and youth. Stanton Ramil and Cale Ellis. Defense, Cody Sigler, Jordan Crawford, Mr. Jaquez Wilkes rushing the passer. And then you have my secondary, my final guys, Bryce Deese, Rayshon Pleasant, and Quan Fegans.
Boom. There you go. The Auburn football annual player draft is complete. We'll dive more into this on Monday. See who won and see what your opinions are. For Jack Hutton, for Trip Upton, I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. Sports are so much better with an opinion, whether you love them, whether you hate them. We're back tomorrow. We're back on Monday to talk all about them. Hope you'll be there to join us.